Well, happy November. Trick-or-treaters, did you have trick-or-treaters last night? No? I had a few. I bought a lot of candy. And I had some, so I brought some here because otherwise I'll eat it and we don't want that. But it's a gorgeous day. It's the start of a new month. We should be well rested. We got, and hopefully we had at least an opportunity for an extra hour of sleep. So it's a good start. And I thought this might be a really good opportunity. We're talking about generosity. This is such a generous group of people. And rather than put you on the spot and have you raise your hands if you've done generous acts, I'm just going to tell you some of the acts that have been done recently. There was a group, small group, that cleaned and painted downstairs, and it looks gorgeous. There's a couple who is now changing the sign outside. You know how when something stays the same, you get so you don't even see it anymore? Well, they're changing it now, so hopefully it'll draw some attention to our church. There's a person who keeps the decorations going here. It's just we have people who routinely give of their time and their talents here. This is a wonderfully generous group of people. I feel very grateful. It makes my job a whole lot easier, you know, for there to be such a wonderful, wonderful group of people. You all are very giving people, and we read in Scripture that's what we're supposed to do. If we go to Luke chapter 6, verse 38, it says, "Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down and shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap, for the measure you give will be the measure you get back. Give, and it will be given to you." I have a bag that I use to bring my stuff back and forth to church all the time, and it was made by the YLU down in the first in the Texas church I served, and it says, "Ask and it will be given, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened for you." There's just this feeling of this is what we're supposed to do is give, and then it comes back, you know, a whole sense of a flow, a circular kind of thing. And yet, even though there's a lot of generosity, we still see a lot of instances of people not being generous. And why are we not generous more often maybe than we are? We've already talked about a lot of it is fear, I think. Fear that there won't be enough. Fear that if we don't have or get or keep what we've got, that there won't be any more. Fear that somebody else might get it. There's fear. And that's what's really kind of keeping us from being generous all the time. In our prosperity class, we watched a YouTube video. A young man did a TED Talk, and I don't think the title was giftivism, but he coined a new term, or there is a new term called giftivism, giftivism. Giftivism, made up word, but he defines it as radical acts of kindness, and the whole video is about generosity. So this idea of, you know, radically giving. We read in Scripture that this is what we're supposed to do. How do we feel when we give? How do we feel when we're doing things for the church, for other people? We feel good, right? It feels really good. Whether or not anybody knows that it was us that did it, it feels really good. And in this video, he says that even though in our society it seems to be thought and believed that people are selfish, that in our economy especially, that people are just selfish, that's the way they are. He says, no, he says that people are generous by nature, that we like to give, that's what feels natural. Now, we here in Unity don't find that really surprising because that's what we teach. That's what we try to live by, is we believe that people are born innately good And so when we do these kinds of things, when we're generous, then, well, of course, you know, because that's the reality of who we are. And yet I think it is fear that kind of keeps us sometimes from expressing who and what we really are. Why is that? Why can't we remember? I think it's we forget source. We forget where it all comes from. If we are afraid to let go of our stuff, it's because, or afraid we're not going to have enough, it's because that we have forgotten our true source. You know, we read in Genesis how the people were really afraid that they wouldn't have enough to eat, and so God would provide this manna, and every night, sure enough, there would be this, they'd get up in the morning and there was food for the next day. It's an illustration of God does provide. There's a great analogy in some of Butterworth's works, and the one that we're using for the prosperity class is no exception. It talks about God as source, us being in the allness of God, or the universe, or a source, whatever you want to call it, it's everywhere, much like a fish is in the ocean. So if God is that much in and through us, even perhaps, Butterworth says, in the spaces in between the pieces of the cell, you know, the protons and the neurons and all that, if that space in between is God, then God is certainly in and through us. And so we can't be separated from God even if we tried to be. But the fish cannot be out of the water. And yet, I don't know how you are with deep water, but I'm afraid of it. I have taken swimming lessons, and yet when I get in deep water, I get tense. I can swim as long as my face is out of the water. So it looks kind of funny. I know in my head, and I've actually done it once or twice, I know that if I can relax, then the water will support me. But if I don't, if I'm tense and tight, what happens? I sink. And I've done that a number of times, enough to be even more scared. I don't get in the water without my little belt, you know, or life belt. But if I can relax, the water supports me. And likewise, then God supports me when I can relax, when I can trust that God is my source. It takes practice. It isn't something that happens just overnight. But that's what we want to do, is if we want to be our true selves, if we want to be generous, we have to remember God is source, and that we can lean into that, we can rely on that. Now, when we talk about generosity, how often do we think of it just in terms of things or money? But it's a lot more than that, or can be. Certainly it is time and money, time and things. I mean, it's money and resources things. But it is also time, and it's also attention. If we are generous with our money, then we give to the places that we want to support. Your support, your financial support, pays my salary, and it pays the bills here, and it allows us to have, you know, the things that we have. When we are generous with our things, then we share or we give away. You know, when we clean out our closets, we'll donate to Salvation Army or whoever. We are generous with our money and with our things. When we are aware of that being a resource of ours, then we can be more consistent with what is important to us. So we get to choose. There was a time when I had a realization that I had various charities. We were talking in class this past week. Charities, and once you get on a list of a charity, then you get paper from every other known charity in the whole world, seems like it. But I had to come to a decision, which ones do I want to support? You know, I can't support all of them. Which ones do I choose? And that's the thing about generosity, is that we, when we're aware that we want to be generous and we are being generous, we can be mindful about where we choose to give our money and to give our things. What about our time? Things are really hectic. This is a fast-paced life anymore. And one of the most precious commodities, I think, is our time. And so to be generous with our time means that we are willing to spend it on what we think is important, if we're mindful. I can remember back when I used to work at Bell, and there was we had modular cubbies, you know, for our offices, and there were people who would stop by, of course, you know, to get information or to just say hello, or sometimes people would, there would be a person or two that would just stop by and just want to talk. That's okay for a little bit, you know, and you can talk for a while. But then there was at least one, maybe two different people, not at the same time, but they would come in, and you'd find that every visit was the same, basically. They were complaining about blah, 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 blah. It never changed. And so I quickly got to the place of, this is not a good use of my time or theirs. So I had to get to the place where I said, you know, I'm glad you stopped by, and maybe we can talk later, but right now I have to do X, Y, Z, too, because my time is important. And so if I want to be generous with my time, I need to be aware of where I want my time to go. And then attention. Who has children that, well, it seemed that when I was younger, and not a lot of time, it seemed my kids would come and want something. They want a story or something, and when I was really, really, really busy. But if time is important, then certainly attention is too, because nothing makes a person feel more valued than to have someone be paying attention to you, to listen to you. And so we can be generous with our attention. And in fact, in this crazy, busy time that we have, very often we just kind of get pulled off of being attentive to what's happening here. We get caught up in what has to happen tomorrow or what has happened yesterday, and we don't stop to be present with whoever is in front of us. But one of the most generous things we can do is to be attentive, to be present with whoever and whatever is right in front of you. So we can be generous. We can be generous with our resources, our money and our resources. We can be generous with our time, and we can be generous with our attention. What's the opposite of generous?
Greed.
Well, that's true. I was going the other way. That greed, I hadn't thought about that. I was thinking of stingy. Stingy, yeah, that's... And so that's where I'm going to go. Someone who's generous, you know, and then someone who's stingy. And often it is because of that fear. If you're stingy, you're going to hold on to whatever you got, whether it's time or money or resources. You're going to hold on, and you don't want to let it go for whatever reason. Is there ever a time that we should be stingy? I'm going to say yes. And I think it has to do with this discerning that we want to learn to do. To be stingy, if I want to be stingy with my money, perhaps I'm just being mindful of where the money's going, and more in agreement with what I believe and what I want. Now, I like Starbucks as much, maybe more, than a lot of people. But I got to the point where I stopped stopping at Starbucks because I was spending $4 and $5 a pop for my caramel macchiatos. You know, they're really good. They're really, really good. But when I started thinking about how much money I'm putting into Starbucks' pocket for this coffee, you know, then I thought, that's an awful lot of money. So I decided to be stingy in that way. Stingy may not be exactly. Maybe it's more discerning. Maybe we want to talk about being discerning with our resources. But there certainly is a time to withhold, to be stingy with whatever that resource is that we're deciding not to put in that direction. Time. When would we want to be stingy with our time? Well, it's like that person who wanted to camp out in my office and complain all the time. I'm going to be stingy with my time and say, no, this is not okay, so that I can spend my time in areas that I want to be spending my time. And when would I want to be stingy with my attention? Well, I don't know about you, but this whole political arena is for me a time. Now, I don't want to completely shut it out because I do want to know what's going on. But there is so much misinformation, so much sensationalism, so much hostility, antagonism, all that kind of stuff. I want to be stingy with my attention. I don't want to be there. Back when I was paying more attention to it, I was riding an emotional roller coaster. You know, sometimes I'd be happy with something I read or saw, and then sometimes I'd be really sad about something. Sometimes I'd be angry. You know, it's all over the place. So I have decided to step back. The keeping the one ear to what's going on is kind of like my dad. My dad was one of the soundest sleepers I have ever seen in my entire life. He could sleep through almost anything. They used to have, if you remember those headboards that had they had little doors, you know, you could keep things in there, and they had a recessed area. Well, they had one of those wind-up alarm clocks that when it went off, it's the most obnoxious sound, and it's really loud. The whole house, you know, echoes with that. You know, he could sleep through that. Yeah, he was really a sound sleeper. Until it was just my sister and I. If one of us at night would say, Daddy, you know, he was there. It would wake him up. And I think as a parent, we do kind of always have that one ear toward our kids. We can hear that. We can pick out that cry that's there. So we know that it's there. So we recognize it, so that we have that one ear tuned. So we can be selective about what we put our attention to in the same way. We can keep an ear out for things, but we can be selective about what we're going to pay attention to. And I think it'll keep us a whole lot more sane. So a couple of takeaways, I think, and that it, one is certainly that what allows us to be generous and then therefore to be more in alignment with who and what we are, the truth of our beings, to be generous, what will keep us in that ability to do that is an awareness that God is source and that God is always present and that there is a flow, given it will be given. Seek and you will find. It's always there. So we don't have to, like, always hold on. Need to remember God has source to help us be generous all the time. And then I think the other important piece for us to remember is that as expressions of generosity in this world, should we choose to do that and to be that, means that we get to be discerning. And in fact, I would say maybe even are responsible for being discerning in what we want to be generous with in terms of our time, in terms of our attention, and in terms of our resources. And whenever we're generous about and for and with, it feels great, whether it's the dollars in our pockets or the time we spend with a loved one. Sometimes there's such a mismatch. We say that this person is the most important person in our lives, and yet when you look at the time we spend in its entirety, maybe they get this much, and the rest of the world gets the majority of the rest of it. So we need to be in integrity with what we say we want to spend, our resources, our time, and our money. And what happens if we do that? Well, I think what happens is, as we saw in the film, and if you wanted to to watch it. It's a really, I think, a really good video to watch. It's on YouTube, and just search on YouTube for giftivism. But amazing things can happen with these radical acts of kindness, these acts of generosity. There was a huge amount of land that was just given. Somebody was walking around and saying, would you be willing just to give 1/6 of your land? It was for something. And they got enough acreage that was bigger than, he was talking about these different countries. Huge amount of land was just donated, just given for nothing. Lots of amazing things can be done when we engage in radical acts of kindness, when even small ones. So my question for you then is, do you want to be generous? Do you want to practice it? It's entirely possible, and we can come here and support each other as we do so, because I think we'll find out how much it can change our world. I'm reminded of times when someone does something just totally unexpectedly nice, very generous with their time or what, and it just is kind of a breath of fresh air. And we can be that. We can be that. So let's practice the presence. Let's practice being at one with Source. Let's practice being generous with our attention and our time right now. So I invite you to become still. Relax your body. Perhaps starting at the top of your head and moving down. Find those places in your body that are tight, tense, and let them go. And then we focus on our breath. Because the mind wants to grab onto thoughts and keep chattering away, when we bring our attention to the breath, it gives it something to do. And so we just focus on breathing in, how it feels to bring that breath into our bodies, breathing out. The sensations, the feelings as we release that air. And again, in. And again, out. We continue to breathe deeply and slowly. We find ourselves again, coming to that place of stillness, of receptivity. We find ourselves willing, listening. And often, without any conscious thought of it, we begin to feel a sense of well-being. We begin to feel a sense of peace. And we can relax even more. In this quiet, in this peace, it feels like we're home. And in a sense, we are. Because just as the fish in the sea is at home in the ocean, so we are at home in our oneness, in our connection with the divine. All is well. We are loved. We get a deep sense of belonging, a deep sense of acceptance, and a deep sense of love. We are absolutely filled with this love that doesn't come from the outer. It is the truth of who and what we are, and yet when we become still, it seems to blossom. It seems to expand in us and fill us. Brings a smile to our faces. It is in these times of connection that we really realize that we have all we need. And it has nothing to do with outer material things. In this oneness, we have everything that we need. We are filled. And so today, as we do each week, we take time in silence for a few moments to be at one with God, with Source, to feel that oneness, and to simply be in the silence. As we allow ourselves to experience this presence, this power that is within each and every one of us, we come away feeling energized, feeling empowered, feeling so very capable of being and doing whatever we choose. In this time of oneness, we have access to wisdom. And so we consciously, purposely, intentionally allow ourselves to be radiating centers of light, love, peace, and we allow that wisdom then to guide our steps, to make known to us what is uniquely ours to do. And we are grateful. We are grateful for the awareness of who, the truth of what we are, who we are. We are grateful for opportunities to be that in expression, to be the light of the world. We are grateful for this community that supports. We support each other that supports this truth. We are grateful for all the blessings in our lives here and now and those that are still to be manifested from this amazing abundance that we call substance, that is God. And so in deep gratitude and reverence, we come together once again as we pray the words that are way shower Jesus Christ taught us, the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.